Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. Hope your Friday is going well. And it is a busy day. We do have a lot of things to talk about in the Feast of Saints Philip and James, Apostles. Pray for us. We are going to, after the news, and there's a ton of it, of course, lots of developments with all the protests and whatnot, we are going to be checking in with Doug Keck. Doug, of course, is our fearless leader, president and chief operating officer, also the host of Bookmark with Doug Keck, and, of course, Father Spitzer's Universe. And every Friday, we give you a chance to get a little sneak preview of all the great programming coming up and what to look forward to, not only over the weekend, but being now that this is the Marian month of May, you can only imagine, I can't wait to hear it, all kinds of great stuff coming up, so Doug will fill us in. Then at the bottom of the hour for Fact Check Friday, have you noticed, and by the way, I would really encourage you, if you haven't seen it yet, if you didn't see it live last night, to go to EWTN.com, the world over, with my friend Raymond Arroyo, and watch his show last night. I mean, I love it. I try to watch it every week. But last night he did a very compelling interview with Father Roger Landry, who's a chaplain at Columbia. And Father gives some very good insights as to what's going on with these students. But what I also find very compelling and actually pretty shocking is that these students, many of whom are actually, yes, students, even though the numbers now show, Father Landry said in the interview with Raymond last night that 3 out of 5 of the students at his school, Columbia, were involved in the protests. The rest of them were professional agitators, and we'll have an update on that in the news. But what were these students doing and saying, those who were actively participating? Many of them were saying, I am Hamas. We are Hamas. Death to America. So in Fact Check Friday, we're going to take a look at what does that look like when you say Hamas. What is Hamas like? What would it be like to live there? And we're also going to hear from a woman who did live in Gaza, and who says that the students who are saying these things and involved in these protests are hurting them, the innocent people in Gaza, because they don't know about whom they're talking. They have no idea what they're saying. They think they're supporting, you know, this regime that is helping people, but they have no idea in terms of the conditions and what they do to people under their rule since they've been in charge, I think, 2006, 2007 in the Gaza Strip. So when these students go around saying horrible things like, I am a terrorist group, because Hamas is identified by the U.S., classified as a terrorist group, do they even know? Especially the women, the young women, and especially what if they are in support of LGBTQ lifestyles and activity? What does it look like for a person with same-sex attraction? When you say, I am Hamas, what does that mean? Also, did you know that there are schools in Iran, universities, that are saying, we will take the protesters who are expelled? So if they love Gaza and Hamas and the Middle East so much, maybe they should go live there for a while. And if they hate the United States by saying death to America. The good news in all of this, though, is we are seeing some heroes. Have you heard the story about these students on the campus of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, these fraternity brothers? We're going to share that with you, too, at Fact Check Friday. And the facts about the history of our country and the people who died for this country and how these young men said, we are not going to have this happen on our watch. They are not going to desecrate the flag. They did it once, but they weren't going to allow them to do it again. And a GoFundMe page set up for these young men in this fraternity, Kappa Phi Kappa, a couple of days ago, started at like 15,000, then went up to 100,000. The report we're going to play for you got that, and that story was about over 300,000, or maybe a little lower than that. Now it's well over $500,000. Now what they're going to do with that money, I saw another interview with the students say, we don't know yet, we'll probably give it to our favorite charities. But what does that say about how Americans really feel about what's going on? And then last but not least, if we have time in Fact Check Friday, speaking of more heroes, there's a beautiful movement, an umbrella group, that put together some fantastic videos, messaging regarding pro-life. And they truly are heroes because they are talking about the difficult topics that a lot of pro-lifers don't want to or don't know how to talk about, including rape. Super, super important. So we're going to be joined by my friend Michael Kinney, and he's actually from Michigan. And it's a wonderful umbrella group that came together. They did a lot of research on this, so he'll give us some background. If we have time, I'll play at least one clip during Fact Check Friday, because speaking of facts, they get the facts out about abortion, rape, the abortion pill, late-term abortion, 11 videos dealing with really tough issues, but doing it so beautifully in terms of well-produced ads that should be blasted out there all over the place. All right. So that is the show on a busy Friday morning. Of course, this is May 3rd, 2024. National Weather Service says periods of heavy rainfall are expected across the lower Mississippi Valley and the Gulf Coast. A slight risk, level 2 of 4 of excessive rainfall has been issued for portions of the Texas and Louisiana coast. A strong Pacific storm will impact the Pacific Northwest and Great Basin today through the weekend, bringing high elevation snow, lower elevation rain, and strong winds as well. 5 minutes past the hour now, a lot of news to get through, so we'll get started. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN on a Friday. Well, the Vatican announcing yesterday the Holy Father will speak at an event on Italy's demographic crisis as the country's birth rate sits at an historic low. The Holy Father addressing the General State of the Birth Rate Conference on May 10th at the Conciliazione Auditorium, very close to the Vatican. The two-day event is organized by the Forum of Family Associations and the Foundation of Births. It seeks to address the 50 years of steady decline in births across Europe and especially in Italy, and what can be done to reverse it. Catholic News Agency reporting that births in Italy dropping to a historic low last year. Italy's National Statistics Bureau recording 379,000 births in 2023. That's a 3.6% decline from 2022 and a 34.2% drop from 2008. Former President Donald Trump is polling more than 10 points ahead of Joe Biden among Catholic voters, thanks in part to increasing support from Hispanic Catholic voters. That's according to a recent Pew survey. This story also on Catholic News Agency. Overall, Pew has Trump leading by only 1% among the general voter population. His support among the Catholic demographic, however, shows noteworthy signs of growth compared with 2020. According to the latest Pew Research Center poll, which was taken April 8th to the 14th, Catholic News Agency reports Trump does lead Biden among Catholics 55% to 43%. The 12% lead is a significant increase from 2020, when Catholics voted in favor of Trump by just 1%, 50% to 49%. In other news this morning, the New York Police Department confirming nearly half of the protesters arrested at Columbia, as Natalie Muglioli tells us, and City College this week, were not affiliated with the schools.
The NYPD says at least 47% of pro-Palestinian demonstrators who were taken into custody were not students at Columbia or City College. The stats confirm Mayor Adams' suspicions that outside agitators are involved in these demonstrations, with Fordham University students making similar observations when a protest popped up at the Lincoln Center campus on Wednesday.
Probably 30% of the people showing up now aren't even Fordham students. They're just here, they're covering their faces. I don't know what they're getting ready to do.
Columbia University took its classes virtual last week and announced all final exams will go remote for the remainder of the term.
Survivors of the October 7th attack on Israel from Hamas are suing pro-Palestinian advocacy groups. The plaintiffs, five American survivors of the attack and a family member of one victim who was killed, are accusing these groups of aiding and abetting terrorists. The groups in question, American Muslims for Palestine, National Students for Justice in Palestine, Advocate for Palestinian Rights, and they are anti-Israel. The lawsuit alleges the organizations use propaganda to recruit college students to become foot soldiers of Hamas. National Students for Justice in Palestine has been involved in the ongoing protests on the college campuses across the country, with the Columbia University chapter being suspended by the college last year. Liz Warner tells us with anti-Semitism on the rise across New York State, more funding is now coming to bolster schools' Holocaust curriculum.
Speaker Carl Hastie and other lawmakers announced $500,000 from the 2024-25 state budget will go to review and update the Holocaust curriculum in schools. Hastie noted this additional investment will ensure that students across the state are accurately and completely taught the lessons of the Holocaust in order to ensure that history never repeats itself. Meantime, the Anti-Defamation League reported anti-Semitic incidents rose by 110% last year, with incidents of harassment up 226% in New York.
Joe Biden breaking his silence and condemned violent protests shaking college campuses across the country amid the worst anti-Semitism outbreak, as you heard, in decades, and also adding that Islamophobia has no place in America. Biden saying there should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. He then said there is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. Law enforcement sources indicated, however, to Fox News Digital, there has been no increase in Islamophobia across the country. And in response, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz saying on X, Biden should just simply denounce anti-Semitism without pandering to Muslims and Arabs, before later saying the crisis at hand was about anti-Semitism, discrimination, and violence against Jews, not other groups. Dershowitz also questioning why won't he just condemn Jew hatred. The president, meanwhile, saying he would not call up the National Guard. The protests, again, have continued despite the president condemning the actions of anti-Israel agitators against Jews. Mark Mayfield tells us Senate Republicans are calling on the Biden administration to stop potential plans to welcome Palestinian refugees from Gaza into the U.S.
CBS News reports that officials are considering allowing some Palestinians who have immediate family members who are American citizens or permanent residents into the country. More than two dozen Senate Republicans signed a letter rejecting the proposal, calling it a national security threat. The group raised doubts that the administration could prevent members of Hamas or other terrorist groups from entering the U.S. The GOP senators instead called on President Biden to prioritize securing the release of the hostages that are held by Hamas.
There will be no Palestinian flags, meanwhile, at the Eurovision Song Contest. This year's event starts Tuesday in Sweden, and a spokesperson for the contest says those attending it will not be allowed to bring in Palestinian flags, wave banners with slogans, or say anything about the Israel-Hamas war. And the Biden administration is facing pressure from Republicans to pull federal funding from universities that are failing to crack down on anti-Semitism. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona was grilled on Capitol Hill this week as the college protests against the war in Israel reached a boiling point. West Virginia Senator Shelley Capito pressing him over whether he would expedite Title VI investigations and hold the universities accountable.
No student should feel unsafe on their campus. Yet just last week, Columbia University had to move classes online, and Jewish students were told by a campus rabbi to go home.
The Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prohibiting discrimination of race, color, or national origin in institutions that receive federal funds. Cardona confirming his agency is investigating 136 cases of possible violations, including at Columbia, which became, of course, the epicenter of the protest, but did not commit to expediting those investigations. And Richard Stelling explains that even if colleges are giving in sometimes to the violent demands of pro-Palestinian protesters, the results would likely be virtually unnoticeable.
Many pro-Palestinian protesters are calling on colleges and universities in Virginia to support a ceasefire and cut off financial support for Israel. However, economist and former president of Old Dominion University, Dr. James Cook, explains to 8 News that colleges don't typically invest in particular companies, but instead have managers who are investing a wider portfolio. He adds that lots of investors making these changes won't make much of a difference at all, because for every seller, there is a buyer.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, in other news, is ordering state schools to ignore new federal rules meant to prevent discrimination on campus. He's backed by fellow Republicans such as State Rep. Brian Harrison.
This is basically Biden declaring war on women, girls, and students, and Texas has got to stand up and protect them.
Texas and a handful of other states are suing to block the changes. They claim the Biden administration misinterpreted the intent of Title IX altogether. The American Civil Liberties Union is filing a lawsuit against the city of Chicago. On Thursday, the ACLU filed a federal lawsuit claiming Chicago is unprepared for protesters who will be in the city for the Democratic National Convention in August. The spokesman for the ACLU of Illinois telling reporters the city hasn't created a clear, transparent plan on how to handle demonstrators. It will cost nearly $2 billion to reconstruct the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland Transportation Secretary Paul Weitfeld telling the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post yesterday, replacing the collapsed structure will come with a preliminary price tag of between $1.7 billion and $1.9 billion. He also says a new bridge should be completed by the fall of 2028. Meanwhile, Maryland's congressional delegation introducing legislation to ensure the federal government covers the entire cost of replacing the bridge. And Tammy Trujillo tells us that new research shows exercise that makes you huff and puff actually reduces your risk of an early death by some 20%.
Australian researchers analyzed nearly 200 studies from over the past two decades and looked at how cardiorespiratory fitness that works out the heart, lung, and muscles predicted future health outcomes. What they found is that those with high fitness levels had a 20% lower risk of premature death, chronic disease, and complications from poor health. The lead author of the study says the message is simple. If you do a lot of huff and puff exercise, then your risk of dying early is reduced.
Austin is the second most dog-obsessed city in the country. That is according to a study released by Bark and Zillow. Bark, known for its BarkBox, says the determination is based on more than a dozen years of its subscription data in combination with Zillow's pet-friendly rental numbers. Austin comes in second place with its share of pet-friendly rentals at 77%, which well eclipses a national average of 55%. Only Dallas performed better at 79%. Top breeds in Austin, Texas are the adorable Golden and Labrador Retrievers. Almost 16 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN on a Friday morning. It is May 3rd. More Catholic Connection coming up. Doug Keck joins us with the Inside Word after the break. Stay tuned.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
Resetting your password. Unsubscribing from emails, printing, anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
If it's pasta you crave and you want it homemade, that's Antonio's.
If you're looking for real authentic Italian cuisine, Antonio's Cucina Italiana and Roman Village is the place to go. Everything is made fresh, in-house, fatta in casa. All our pastas, pizzas, soups, and sauces are prepared fresh daily. Visit any Antonio's in Roman Village, where we do Italian right.
That's Antonio's
Cucina Italiana.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
May 3rd, it's a Friday. Great to be with you. Always great to catch up with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer. Boy, great world over last night, Doug. I really enjoyed it. So many great interviews, and I learned a lot. But what's coming up on the schedule? Because we are now in the Marian month of May. Good morning.
Right, absolutely. You can always turn to the world over. Raymond will be there with the stories, along with the rest of our wonderful news team. Yeah, well, tomorrow we've got some special events. We've got the Holy Mass on the Feast of the English Martyrs coming up from Walsingham in England. It's at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That's tomorrow. We're also going to run a very popular film we created called The Passion of St. Edmund Campion. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So check out those. Franciscan University on Sunday focuses on the gift of the Eucharist. So that should be a fine program with regulars like Scott Hahn and Dr. Regis Martin. Always interesting. Doctors of the Church, Pope St. Leo the Great. Remember him with Attila? Well, he'll be on May 7th. That's on Tuesday at 9 a.m. That program. We've got New Living Divine Mercy next week with Father Chris explaining all about how the Church is seen as the Bride of Christ and Mary, speaking of the month of May. And then next Wednesday, we've got the beginning of the Candlelight Vigil for Victims of Abortion. This is our coverage, as we do every year, of the National March for Life in Canada, exclusive coverage we've done with our great friends Kevin Dunn and his team. Starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, that's the vigil. Then on Thursday all day, we've got the National Mass for Life from Ottawa. That'll be at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It'll be about a 30-minute tape delay, actually, because of some conflicts in schedule, but check that out at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The march itself begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have full, complete live coverage of that from Parliament Hill in Ottawa. And also, Saving a Miracle, Raw Stories from the Heart, a collection of testimonies from pro-life advocates with different backgrounds and experiences. We'll also be airing that on a Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I also know a new program will be coming soon that was produced up in Canada by Kevin Dunn and his team, working with us on kind of like dealing with Roe as it affects what's going on in Canada and their pro-life movement. So check out all that information, EW10.com. Check out our on-demand page and also our wonderful podcast, Central, as well.
How long, Doug, has EW10, I know it's been a while, but committed, make similar commitments as they do to the March for Life? How long have you been covering the Ottawa March, do you know?
Now you're going to ask me a question, 15 years?
Okay.
Time flies, so sometimes you go and say, we've been covering certainly the March for Life in Washington in different ways, almost the entire time Mother started the network. Certainly, we really ramped up our coverage in D.C. in the late 90s and then expanded every year. Mm-hmm. And then we, of course, did the West Coast Walk for Life, One Life L.A. now as well. And, of course, we bring you news coverage of some of the other events around the globe that were really inspired by, I will say, the marchers in Washington. And I'd like to believe, to some degree, us exposing and promoting that was going on. And now, obviously, we've been working with Canada for a number of years. I worked on it a couple of times. Jim and Joy had anchored it for a couple of times. Now it's completely anchored by a team up in Canada themselves. And so we're always thrilled to be able to bring that.
I was asking because I know personally the impact that the march in D.C. has had on the movements. I'm sure you've heard from people in Canada about the impact the march that you cover in Ottawa has had on their pro-life movement. Yeah,
absolutely. That's the program I was alluding to about having to do with After Roe. It really was some people coming down from Canada looking how, following what was going on in the States, seeing how it was overturned here, and them really trying to say, how can we make something like this happen in Canada, which in many cases, believe it or not, is actually worse than we are, especially
I was just gonna say that.
When it gets to, they don't have a First Amendment, kind of thing, right of free speech, and the hate speech laws and the other things up there are incredible, and they're moving rapidly to outdo most of Europe in kind of the progressive approach to euthanasia, abortion, transgender rights, right? While everybody else who's got half a brain is pulling back in Europe, they're going full speed ahead. And so it's really, really important that we showcase, life issues as they relate to our brothers and sisters in Canada.
Well, even with the radio, for the Canadian Radio Television Commission, and I know this because being in Detroit, Windsor is practically across the street.
Right.
It's considered a suburb. And I've gone over and done talks for folks looking to do something in radio there, but they're very limited because you cannot have a Catholic radio station. If you're on the air, unless it's cable, of course, but if you're looking for an AMF and brick-and-mortar station, you have to have open access to all different religions.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's because it's basically a government model. That's really what you've got. You've got a model that came out of the BBC early on model out of the UK. And so you have that kind of paternalistic approach to everything. And they're so spun up on diversity, nobody can say anything outside of being, politically correct is, exponentially understood. And we have our Sirius satellite feed is available in Canada, so some people have, obviously, besides the Internet, also can get us off Sirius satellite. But, yeah, you're entirely right. People have no idea how much freedom we really have here in the States and why, when we see it being encroached upon, and such a political bent to it, a real, the idea of what they say, lawfare, and also the kind of pointed persecution based upon people's opinions is what's really scary.
Yeah. So grateful for all the great work, Doug. Thank you. Have a blessed weekend. Doug Heck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, joining us on Fridays for the Inside Word, giving out the inside scoop on what's coming up. You can check it all out at EWTN.com. Fact Check Friday coming up. Stay tuned. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Fact Check Friday. Wrapping up coverage on all the protests, and there's some good news to be had out there, including some heroes. And this is Fact Check Friday because I do credit the local TV stations in North Carolina with doing a very good job of reporting the facts on this case of these young men from Kappa Phi, on the campus of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and not putting agenda to it, just telling exactly what happened the way it happened. So here's the quick story, then I'm going to play a report for you. These students on the campus were very upset when their fellow students who were involved in the protest decided to tear down the American flag and replace it with a Palestinian flag. Well, the administration came along with the police and then took down the Palestinian flag, put the Old Glory back up, and then the students, the same protesters, the agitators who were supporting Hamas, tried to tear it down again, and then the fraternity said, not on our watch. Take a listen.
A viral online fundraiser has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for UNC fraternity members after they protected the American flag during that campus protest yesterday.
Yeah, it's raised nearly $300,000 in just a few short hours. CBS 17's Harrison Grubb talks with students who stepped in about how this whole thing played out.
These moments on UNC's campus are resonating with thousands across the country.
When we went in, we said, we will not let the headline of this day be an American flag falls at UNC.
Ongoing protests against the war in Gaza intensified on campus Tuesday. At one point, pro-Palestinian protesters replaced the American flag flying over the quad with a Palestinian one. After university administrators brought a new flag, they tried bringing that one down as well.
My friends and I kind of looked at each other and then said, we should go over there.
Jason Calderon joined several of his fellow students in propping up the flag to prevent it from touching the ground. All while he says he and others were pelted with objects from protesters.
So many Americans in history have fought for the ideals of justice and freedom that that flag represents. And who are we if we don't take some water balloons and take some yelling and some chaos to, you know, reap the benefits of what they've sown for American society?
Images of the students' actions flooded social media, leading to the creation of a GoFundMe to benefit fraternities whose members protected the flag. It raised more than $250,000 within 12 hours.
So many people are seeing that UNC is a beacon of light.
On campus, steps are being taken to make sure it doesn't happen again.
It was really just inspirational for us to see everybody coming together and the chancellor coming in and saying, as long as I'm chancellor, that flag will stay up.
I reached out to the fraternities named in the fundraiser but have not heard back yet. In Chapel Hill, Harrison Grubb, CBS 17 News.
So you heard in that report, which I thought was excellent, giving the facts and not filling it with agenda or attacking the students or, you know, trying to bring in another agenda in that story. It was very, you know, straightforward of what happened, what the students did and the response. You heard the reporter talking about the facts, speaking of Fact Check Friday, that they had raised at this point, and this story, I believe, aired on Wednesday. At that point, it was just over $250,000, $250,000. We know what it's up to this morning. $517,000 almost, their GoFundMe page. So that tells me, and I'm sure it tells you, that people are very proud of these young men who recognize what that flag represents. Interestingly enough, in doing some research for this segment this morning, I came across a compelling article, which was including a very powerful clip from a woman who lived in Gaza and is describing how the residents, or former residents as she is, of Gaza are seeing these protests, these American students, the ones who are saying, I am Hamas, the ones that are supporting Hamas. Take a listen to what she has to say.
Have you ever wondered why we haven't seen mass pro-Palestine protests in the Middle East? See, in the West, you are privileged. You can demand even without understanding. Back where I come from, we don't demand. We are grateful if we find the means to feed our children, to pay the rent, to buy our medication. We are thankful if we're not arrested, tortured, and raped. You should know that you are supporting our oppressors, that you are betraying us, all of us, the Gazans included.
So here are these students, not all of them, of course, but a good number of them who are involved in these protests. And as I mentioned in watching Raymond's show last night, The World Over Live with Raymond Arroyo, Father Roger Landry, one of the chaplains at Columbia, said 3 out of 5 students, and what they could discern from the numbers that were released, 3 out of the 5 students were involved in these very angry and ugly protests that included taking people hostage, damaging property. It was just, as you know, very ugly. So these students, among other things, have been shouting, death to America, we are Hamas. So they are basically saying they are a classified terrorism organization or are a part of it. And you heard what she had to say about life in Gaza. Well, here's some more information for those students who are saying, I am Hamas. According to Palestinian polling from 2022, 62% of Palestinians believe people in the Gaza Strip cannot criticize Hamas without fear. And this is also confirmed by the Human Rights Watch of the United Nations. And what about women? How do young women view the possibility of moving to live under Hamas in Gaza? Well, here's Miriam, a professional dancer of Dabki, an Arabic folk style dance, believes in the power of art to improve the world. But after Hamas gained control of Gaza in 2007, they told her to stop dancing and study Quran instead. When she refused, they began to threaten her family. Since taking power, Hamas has reportedly clamped down on women's basic freedoms and artistic expressions deemed un-Islamic. And it goes on and on and on. And then what about the treatment of people with same-sex attraction? Polls of public sentiment toward LGBTQ people in the Palestinian territories find that they are ranked at number 130 on the list. So way, way, way down there. In Gaza, homosexual sex has been outlawed since 1936. And in the occupied territories, generally, queer and trans identities continue to be the subject of intense debate, as well as targets of anti-LGBTQ violence and persecution. Now, there is a college professor who's being interviewed on some of the Middle East stations who's welcoming the protesters, the American students who were expelled and who are shouting, we are Hamas, that they can go to school in Iran if they like. They can complete their education. But meanwhile, Iran is only one of 6 countries that impose a death penalty for same-sex relations. The death penalty can also be applied to juvenile LGBTQ individuals. Not to mention the way they treat women who can't even go out of the house without permission, basically, from their husbands. But hey, we are Hamas. And if you are chanting those things and saying death to your country, death to America, then go and see what it's like there. If you hate this country so much, you're saying this. We're not saying it, you're saying it. Shame on you with you saying it. And thanks be to God for those young men who are saying, no, not on our watch. We appreciate what the people who have gone before us have done for us and what that flag truly represents. Those are the facts about Hamas and Iran. But hey, they're welcoming the agitators. Do you want to go? Go to school there. See what it's like. I guarantee they'll be on the first plane home. We'll be right back. All right, so here's the deal, folks. If you work, and I know many of you do, and we're so grateful for your work in the pro-life movement, if you work for your state Right to Life office, if you run a pregnancy resource center, if you're a counselor, if you work with Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard, you need to grab these beautiful videos and get them out there and blast it all over social media. Michael Kenny is with us. He's president of Pro-Life Partners Foundation. And in conjunction with the American Pro-Life Movement, we're going to talk about this. There have been a series of really well-done, powerful videos. And most of them, I think the longest one maybe is about 2 minutes, just over 2 minutes. And these are very usable. They're very well done production-wise. And, Michael, all I can say is thanks be to God, because I've been talking about this since Proposal 3. We did not have a good answer. First of all, Michigan, I think, at least the people on the ground were telling us, to the rape question, and that was a biggie. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. So how did this all come about, first of all?
So it's really in response to leaders such as you, Teresa, who pointed out that challenge. And then, unfortunately, similar challenges occurred in Ohio, where the other side got out ahead with their messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a strategy session last summer at the Museum of the Bible on the anniversary of the Dobbs decision, and we pulled together national leaders, some benefactors, and through that strategy session, we then began to recognize that this was a real need, that perhaps Pro-Life Partners could step in and create the product and then just give the product to the, you know, nearly 4,000 entities that are pro-life in our country.
So where do they go to get the videos if someone is interested?
Yes, there's a website that is AmericanProLifeMovement.com. AmericanProLifeMovement.com. It'll be easy if you search and have any of those words. It should pop up.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding two webinars as well to help explain and respond to any questions. But that's the starting point, is go to that website, and they're all downloadable, and they're meant to be very easy to work with. They're also meant to allow the entities to add their brand to them. And so
right.
There's a separate set that doesn't refer to the American Pro-Life Movement. It just ends so that if you wanted to put your brand there, or you could add it to at the end of the way these ads conclude with American Pro-Life Movement.
Well, who did the production? Because the production value is excellent. They're really well done.
Yes, a terrific person named Joshua Tirugina. His and her production company, he's based in Arizona. He had served legal wing of the pro-life movement for about 15 years, Alliance Defending Freedom and others, and then for the last 5 years or so, he's been on his own, but a very talented, good person.
Yeah, because they're very competitive in terms of being out there with the secular media in terms of the production value. So, Michael, what I'd like to do, and by the way, we're talking with Michael Kinney, president of Pro-Life Partners Foundation. Again, we want you to take a look at AmericanProLifeMovement.com. 11 videos, and they don't shy away from the tough issues, and we shouldn't be shying away from them or be afraid to. But what's great is we have these videos to tell the story. So Andrew, my producer, is going to roll the video. Obviously, it's radio, so we'll hear the audio of it, but you can still get this powerful message. How do you talk about rape and incest when it comes to the issue of abortion, which always comes up? Let's take a listen.
Liam was born 11 years ago, and like all children, his story intertwines with his mother's. Liam's mother, Rebecca, was raped and became pregnant at 18. The man who assaulted her was more than twice her age, and she was homeless. She couldn't provide for a child, and she was the victim of a violent crime. But circumstances, even horrible circumstances, do not define us. Rebecca leaned into hope. She persisted with courage, and she gave birth to Liam. A family adopted Liam, and the adoptive father says, "Rebecca and Liam have taught us way more than we could ever teach them." The message, compassion. This story is complicated. It's personal. It's gut-wrenching. It's also inspiring. A story of hope. Rebecca and Liam's lives are intertwined. We cannot diminish Rebecca's trauma, but we also cannot dehumanize Liam. Both need our help. Both deserve our help. We must be compassionate to both. Support both. Embrace both. Welcome both. Love both.
That is so good. I mean, seriously, it says everything. You're not shying away from the fact that this is a gut-wrenching issue. It really is, and it is complicated. It's not easy, but it doesn't mean abortion is the answer to everything, even the most terrible situations.
That's so true, Teresa, and what you're saying is supported by research that the mother ultimately does better by allowing the child to live. And this is a true story. We've changed the names, but all the other aspects of what you just heard are absolutely true. And so, you know, and the visuals that go with the audio are magnificent.
Yes, yes, it's a beautiful story. You see the young man, but it is very powerful because you're not shying away from it. But what people, you have to grab them with emotion because that's what the left does so well. But this is a true story. But we have to grab them with the emotion, but with the truth in that emotion, right?
You can't say it any better than that, Teresa. Thank you.
All right, we're going to play another one. I know my wonderful producer, Andrew, I've been driving him crazy. I've been sending him so many videos today because I've been doing so many different stories that require audio and video to be played. But let's do the one, Andrew, if you can pull the one on the little pill that kills. And this is about the abortion pill. And, oh, boy, is this important, especially right now in the case of the Supreme Court. Here we go.
Abortion pills have been legal since 2000. And now make up for more than half of all abortions because they're being sold as the more comfortable solution. But abortion pills actually come with many complications and side effects, like severe pain, heavy and prolonged bleeding, fever, infection, and cramping. But these are just the complications that pro-abortion organizations mention. What they don't mention is that abortion pills can lead to blood clotting, described by one patient as the size of a lemon, incomplete abortions, which require a follow-up surgical abortion, pain, sometimes described as worse than childbirth, mental distress and a fear of dying, and in some cases, the abortion pill has led to death of the mother. This isn't hyperbole. So far, 24 women have lost their lives from complications with abortion pills. And get this, nearly half of all women who take the abortion pill seek medical attention after. That doesn't sound very comfortable or safe, does it? In spite of these complications, abortion vendors have fought to remove safety regulations and to disregard the research that says women have been hurt by abortion pills. But the truth is this, these little pills kill.
When I worked at Planned Parenthood as an RHA, we were told to mislead the women that came in looking for abortion pills. We were instructed to tell them the abortion pills were going to be easy, and we knew they weren't. Still, I was told to go to the grocery store and buy a lemon to show the women how big the clots would get. These women were experiencing intense pain, and they were afraid for their lives.
Wow. So, Michael, what was your reaction when you were seeing these videos for the first time after having discussed them and different topics you were going to bring out in the videos?
Well, I had the privilege of being part of actually creating the scripts and the visuals. And that one that you just played, I also had the privilege of being involved in the creation of the film Unplanned. And so we were able to use, a portion of the Unplanned clip in the abortion pill one. So all I can say is it's just been a tremendous privilege to be a part of the various aspects of it. And I can't be more grateful for Joshua's skill. I think that these little stories are exactly what President Lincoln did to overcome the last time we were in this situation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the webinars, because we want to make sure that pro-life groups out there can sign on to the webinar, and if not, at least get information on how they can get these different messages and just blast it everywhere. So tell us about the webinars coming up.
So we have a webinar this Tuesday evening, May 7th. It begins at 9 o'clock Eastern, and we've sent out invitations to over 2,000 pro-life leaders, sort of personal invitations to them. Anyone listening on the 400 stations that have your show can send an email to me if they would like to be invited to that. That's Michael at prolifepartnersfoundation.org. Now, a week from Monday, May 13th, will be one in which we're inviting over 20,000 pro-life people that we know to that webinar. And that webinar is designed to inspire the entire pro-life movement to see how easy it is to download and distribute these messages. We hope that these messages reach on a sustained basis throughout 2024, you know, hundreds of millions of Americans in every state. And I have had the privilege of speaking at a few conferences recently and have met people from Alaska to New York, and they're all very excited to distribute these messages.
Now, what are the chances, and you and I have been going back and forth on emails in preparation for this interview today, and I mentioned this to you earlier, what about fundraising to get this out during the election on some secular stations? Is that a possibility?
Well, that would be terrific. So Pro-Life Partners committed to creating the productions of all these, and we're now hoping through this organic campaign that we'll reach tens of thousands, but you're absolutely right. We need others to step forward and say, you know, we intend to spend anyway. We would like to take your product and place ads using this, you know, purchase ad time, and that's critical. So anyone who's open to doing that, please contact me at michael@prolifepartnersfoundation.org, and I'd be happy to discuss with you how to do that effectively. It turns out Joshua has a tremendous skill set in that. That's very research-based on how to generate a return on that type of investment.
So do you think, and this is just a technical question, being a broadcaster and knowing the time slots, do you think he could, I'm sure he could, produce shorter spots in terms of 30
yes.
seconds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, yeah. We have variations of these to meet those
okay.
slots. So, yeah. Yep.
How did you decide, because there's so many issues within the abortion movement that you could cover, but you've got abortion hurts, you've got the pill that kills, late-term abortion is real. That was a really, really good one in terms of how the CDC documents the abortions, and giving the statistics from the government itself. That was powerful. What makes a hero? And the other one I really loved was She Will Rise Above, about the women's movement and how you showed the women marching. That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yes, well, Teresa, there is a what we call a white paper on the website that describes the details of the process. But your question is something that we could talk about for hours. We obtained research from all over the nation, great collaboration among pro-life leaders, and so all of these are done to the best of the professional standards as possible. They're not topics that were randomly selected. They came as a result of surveys, and it's been a 9-month process because the first two-thirds of that had to do with the research.
Right.
It was really, the creative was about 3 months.
I mean, I have to say, I can't even tell you, when I saw these, I was so excited because this is what's needed, and I'm just so grateful because it's been so me in the media, you know, with my media background, and you know me, we're both from Michigan, that we
yes.
have the stories, we have the truth on our side, and the truth is powerful, right? And we
yes,
just need to be
right.
able to tell those stories well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The pro-life movement is a blend of subsidiarity and solidarity. And in the
mm-hmm.
context of subsidiarity, we have hundreds of people doing very wonderful things in their lane. On the solidarity side, that's how Pro-Life Partners Foundation came into being a few years ago. The thought was there needs to be an entity that could just serve the movement by producing product that others could use. Because who has time to set aside if you're
right.
40 days for life? You don't have time to create these kind of... So it's very encouraging to hear an expert such as you in the media respond. That was exactly what we're hoping for, that professionals would see the quality here.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was like jumping up and down when I was watching the videos. My husband was laughing at me, Deacon Dom. But he agrees because he's out there as a counselor and he knows. You know why, Michael? Because there was another ad that I saw that was so frustrating and very dramatic from the left. I forget which state it pertained to, but it showed these two young girls in a car going across state lines and a state trooper following them, and the young girl saying to the driver, "You're going to make it, you're going to make it." The cop pulls her over and then slams her on the car and handcuffs her, and it's an ad from, I don't know if it's Planned Parenthood or Pro-Choice America, I don't know who it's from, but basically giving the impression this is going to happen to young women if a Donald Trump or someone else who, you know, is at least somewhat pro-life gets into office. And that's a complete lie in that particular case. But I kept thinking, we have the truth on our side, and we need to tell it well, and you have done that. So, all right, let me give the website again, AmericanProLifeMovement.com, for more information. And if you need Michael's email, email me, and I'll give it to you. We'll also put the links to this on the archive section at Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The good news for us, as the Catholics who are trying to understand the world through the lens of Catholic teaching, is that we work for something much more than political victories. There's an ultimate political victory, and that is when the king returns. We shouldn't be irresponsible, but we all know that all those choices are relative to the great moment when the king will return and establish his own administration, you might say. And we should never forget that, because the coming of Christ will relativize all human kingdoms and all human political efforts. But this is why we should never permit our politics to distort our witness to Jesus.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Join Charity Mobile, the pro-life, pro-family phone company for nearly 30 years. New customers get a free phone or $100 off plus free shipping and free activation. Use promo code AVE, A-V-E. There's no contracts or termination fees. 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Our pro-life reps are based in the USA. Enjoy great coverage and great service. Join Charity Mobile, and by the way, you believe. Go to charitymobile.com/AVE.
Again, check out these terrific ads. These videos are amazing. AmericanProLifeMovement.com. Thank you for listening to EWTN's Global Catholic Radio, and we'll be back on, God willing, on Monday, of course, with the Scripture Verse of the Week with Gail Buckley and so much more. Look forward to it. God bless. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.